Many moms are forgoing the typical baby shower and planning a blessing way instead. What exactly is a blessing way, and what happens at one? How do you go about planning it? I'm Linda Goldsmith, a labor doula and blessing way facilitator, and this is Preggy Pals, episode 104.
Is that a plus sign?
Pink or blue?
Hospital or home birth?
What type of food should I be eating?
I think I just peed myself!
I'm pregnant, and I have to exercise?
What pregnancy glow?
Wait, was that a contraction?
Gotta make these pants fit! I've got kinkles!
What do you mean there's more than one?
You've got the symptoms, and now you've got the support you need for a happy 9 months. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way.
Welcome to Preggy Pals, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Preggy Pals is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for expecting parents and those hoping to become pregnant. I'm your host, Annie Laird. Thanks to all of our loyal listeners who have joined the Preggy Pals Club. Our members get special episodes, bonus content, and special giveaways and discounts. See our website for more information. Another way for you to stay connected is by downloading the free Preggy Pals app, which is available in the Android and iTunes marketplace. Now, Samantha, she's going to give us some more information about our virtual panelist program. This is great if you're not here in San Diego.
Yeah, it's perfect. So if you don't live in San Diego, but you'd like to be a panelist on the show, you can participate through our virtual panelist program. Just give us a like on Facebook and follow us on Twitter using the hashtag PreggyPalsVP. We'll post questions throughout the week prior to our taping, and then we'd love for you to comment so we can incorporate your thoughts into our episode. You can also submit your questions directly to our experts. Learn more about our virtual panelist program through the community section on our website, www.preggypals.com.
Great. All right. Well, going around the table here, I'm Annie. I'm 35. My occupation, I am a government contractor by day, and then I do my podcast here on the weekend. Also blog, do some labor doula work, do a little bit of everything. I don't have a due date for once. I have three little girls, elementary school age daughter, a toddler, and a small toddler.
There you go.
Yeah, except she's not toddling, not walking quite yet at 5 months. Yeah.
I'm Samantha. I'm 22. I'm a barista by afternoon and a producer by weekend. I do not have a due date, although I wish I did. I have one 18-month-old named Olivia, cute little girl, but quite the pistol. Type of birth, I had a cesarean section, unplanned, hoping for a VBAC next time around.
Awesome. All right, so today on Preggy Pals, I don't think this is from News of the Weird, but the owner of New Mommy Media, Sunny, she forwarded this to me, and it should belong on News of the Weird. I think it was actually from Huffington Post. So the title of the article is, Man Expecting Quintuplets Find Out His Girlfriend Isn't Pregnant. He's in Canada. And so the Toronto Sun reports that Paul Surratt was expecting his girlfriend to deliver triplets. So her stomach swelled. She began lactating and the whole community really pitched in. And I'll take a look at the picture. I mean, she looks like she's pregnant. And she, I guess, had there's a picture of the four of the two of them, and they're holding each other, and they have the four cribs behind them. And he's the so Paul, poor Paul. You know, he says, we were so happy. Even my parents, they were looking so forward to having grandchildren. I lost my whole life. So I guess she is in the psych ward now. So Genevieve, who's a mother of the triplets, she's a mother of triplets herself. She befriended the couple, in a kind of a friend of multiples type of thing. And so she was a little bit suspicious because this woman kept adding to the number of expected children. So at first she said, oh, I'm having one baby. Oh, it's two. It's twins. And then it's triplets. And now it's four, and now it's five. And
so they were all just hiding behind each other.
I guess so. Like every ultrasound, she got a new baby. Oh, this is amazing, you know. So I guess the doctor that they actually went in to deliver her, and there was no babies. And so the doctor was saying like that he's heard of it before. Like it's called a phantom pregnancy. Where the physical signs of pregnancy manifest. So if you see in the picture, it looks like a pregnant belly. Now, certainly not
quite so big.
If you have five babies in there, it would be bigger than it was. But, I mean, she looks pregnant. It's crazy. So she's in the psych ward now.
The power of the mind is amazing to me, that she can believe this so hard and actually start to exhibit quote-unquote symptoms.
Yeah.
Is amazing to me.
Well, I didn't lactate during my pregnancy, but I've heard of that happening.
Oh, yeah. I started leaking like 15 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it happens.
Yeah.
But I don't think it would have happened if I wasn't pregnant at all.
Yeah.
But the power of the mind.
Yeah, that's amazing.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Well, today on Preggy Pals, we're talking about blessing ways. It's the alternative to the typical baby shower. Joining us today is our expert is Linda Goldsmith. She's a labor doula and she's a blessing way facilitator. Linda owns the Pregnancy Sanctuary in Encinitas, California, and she facilitates sacred pregnancy circles. Linda, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, with my last baby, actually for my two last babies, I had blessing ways, a baby shower. And I just think that more people need to know about this alternative. Now, my baby shower was amazing for the first one to get all the stuff.
Right. It's important.
Yeah. But then after the second one, I'm like, well, I got all the stuff, but I still want to, you know, gather everybody around. So I think if you can explain to our listeners, you know, what is a blessing way and how is it different from that typical baby shower that pretty much everybody gets, you know, from your mom or your sister?
Right. Well, and like you said, the baby shower is important because you get the stuff, but on a second baby, you still need to get the stuff, but it's emotional. Mm-hmm. You still need the emotional goodies. And you're really not getting a lot of emotional goodies at a baby shower. You're getting practical stuff for the baby. And again, that can be important to a lot of people. So I think blessing ways are not at the exclusion of baby showers. I want to be clear about that. I still think there's plenty of room for both. The difference is at a blessing way or a mother blessing, you can call it either one. The focus is on the mom. And at a baby shower, the focus is on, as we all know, the presents, right? That's what you do, baby shower. You open them up and you get the presents and the focus on the baby. And a lot of times at baby showers, moms tend to one-up each other on how bad their birth was. So this mom, unfortunately, is marinating for about 3 hours in bad birth stories a lot. And a lot of women leave their baby shower and they're happy with their stuff, but their emotional cup is beyond empty. So a blessing way or a mother blessing is, I think it's getting more and more important in our society. I think moms really, really, really need to be pumped up before they go into their birth about the fact that they're awesome and they can have the birth that they want and they can feel empowered.
Especially so we're so disconnected in this society.
Yeah, so disconnected.
A lot of us, here we're in San Diego, but I don't think it's just a San Diego thing. It's with being a military community, we're all separated from each other. Nobody lives near their families here.
Right.
But it's not just a thing. There's a lot of people that, you know, you leave home when you're an adult and you move away from your family.
Yeah, and you're gone. And communities aren't the same as they were in the 1930s and 40s where families gather around all family members. That's not really the case. We define our own families nowadays. But a blessing way is very different. The invitation list is very different. So, for example, on a baby shower, you would invite probably everyone from work and your mother-in-law and all of your best friends and maybe even your neighbors. But that's not what a blessing way is. A blessing way is to pick out, I think optimally, 6 to 12 people who really believe in the kind of birth that you want, who will be understanding about your fears, and invite them to be your circle of support. And so nobody brings a present. Their presence is their gift to you. And so we come and we share. And a blessing way or mother blessing, it has three components, a beginning, a middle, and an end. And you can do anything you want. That's the joy of these. You really do anything you want. But the meat and potatoes is the honoring of the celebrant, the honoring of the mom, and the sharing with her, and her sharing with you. She needs a community to express any fears she might have. And those people just hold it for her. They don't fix it. They just hold it for her. And then she draws from them a beneficial collective energy that she calls on a second time when she goes into labor.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the origin of this ceremony? Is it Native American? Or?
Yeah. Yeah. It was the Native Americans have had this type of ceremony honoring the mother for, you know, ever. And it was the midwives in the 70s in America brought it back and started practicing it. And I think when birth moved to the hospital about 75 years ago, we lost a lot of traditions that would go along with just having your baby at home like everybody was born at home prior to hospital birth. And we lost a lot of that because mom was just sort of swept away. You know, the husband dropped her off at the hospital. People in white from head to toe picked her up and took her to a room. And she had a baby, and then the dad was notified that the baby... So a lot of rituals changed because it didn't line up with the kind of birth that was going to happen. Well, in the 70s, you know, it had been about 30 years of hospital births, and people were like, eh, you know, I want something richer. I want something deeper. I want something more. And so we tried to marry the two, I think. Well, I'm going to have a hospital birth, but I want to feel love, and I want to feel powerful and confident. And so I think... the midwives bringing the blessing way back was a good step in helping the woman bridge the gap, you know, between what she needs and what she's getting from maternal care in America.
Now, a lot of the times a baby shower is a surprise party for a mom-to-be, but as I understand it, a blessing way is not, you know, a surprise
no.
to the mom, and the mom is actually involved in planning it, right?
Yeah, it strikes me as like a surprise funeral. Surprise! No. No, we're not going to do that. So, yeah, she's very much involved. This is, it's really important to her, because we're not worried about colors and theme, and we're not worried about any of that. It's all the emotional work that's happening. So we need to find out from her, you know, in a planning meeting, what do you want to get from your blessing way? What is it that you need to receive from the people that you've asked to surround you? And a lot of times it gives her an opportunity to share her fear, you know, during the planning to really pinpoint what it is. Why do I feel this need to collect with other women? What is it I'm trying to get from them? And then it can really help her be clear. So, yeah, if it was a surprise, she wouldn't have had time to think about it and really know what's important to her and what to get out of it. Plus, she's in charge of her own rituals. And I think that's really, really important, because there are some women who they don't want. It's a little too much for them, for laying on of hands or brushing of hair or a walkabout or, you know, those kinds of things. And other women, they love it. But if you surprise somebody and you gave them something that they were uncomfortable with, it would not be a memorable way in a good way for her.
Yeah.
I think she would be stressing about it.
Yeah. We talk about planning it, but there's also the element of you're a facilitator of of blessing way. So can mom facilitate her own, or is it a better idea for her to get someone who can facilitate it for her?
So I'm a big fan of somebody facilitating for you. Having said that, I did facilitate my own. Back in 2005, I facilitated my own because I didn't know any facilitators. And I really wanted to have this kind of a ceremony. And I had way too many people. I had like 20 people. But I was also sort of, I think in hindsight, I was educating other people. Instead of really doing it for me, I was also sort of, you know, doing it for them so that they would know about this too. It wasn't fun because it's like, okay, well, now's the time we honor me. And
come over here and brush my hair.
Right, exactly. It was totally awkward. So, I'm a big fan of facilitation. And if it's being done properly, then I really think that the celebrant has a chance to tap into some deep emotion, which usually is connected to tears for women. That's a source of empowerment and release and productivity, to cry and release. So if she's if you have to do both, it's too much work. You really need to be the one receiving and feeling, and let somebody else move it along for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that.
Now, you talked about a little bit about the guest list, but are there people who should be definitely left off the guest list?
Yeah. So the people who don't believe in the kind of birth you want to have, whether it's a natural home birth or a planned cesarean, they should probably not be there. Because you don't need to manage what they think is reasonable. You need to be collecting at your blessing way emotion and energy and love. And if you have to manage anybody, that's not a good candidate for somebody to be there. So
that's probably not a good candidate for someone to be at the birth either.
Yeah, so, it's good point. Yeah. Good point. Baby showers, they're important, but they're not, what's the word I want to say? You can take a gift from anybody. But when you're taking an emotional gift from people, it has to be somebody specific, usually, you know, especially when it comes down to birth. So I, you know, you may have just met three new people in a childbirth class and three new moms at a park, and those are your six people. It doesn't have to be
your lifelong friend.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It can just be people that you feel like you can draw benefit from.
Yeah. Now, what about men? Would this be something that the dad would go to or not?
No. Sorry, guys. It's not. It's the female energy is what we're after. And just even having one man in the room can throw it a little bit. I remember one time a client really wanted her husband to take pictures. And, you know, of course, it's her decision. If she wants him there, she can have him there. But I just said, I think that women will not open up as much.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're just going to...
All the blessing ways that I've been at have been very emotional.
Yes.
Tears for everybody. For all participants. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that we don't feel the need to explain that or feel embarrassed about it if we're just with other women. It's like, yeah, that's what we do. Yeah. That's what we do. You know, and
I was at a blessing way recently where the husband was, and you, I think it was one that you were facilitating, Linda, and he said something very astute afterwards. He said he almost felt like he was invading on a sacred space.
Right.
And he was just off in the kitchen. And,
yeah,
you know,
he was in a different
food.
Room. Yeah. He was in a different room. But yeah. I definitely noticed the presence because I think he had, you could hear the tinkering or something and you knew he was listening. And it was sweet because he was in the other room. But I don't know. I'm not a fan. Mm-hmm. I would prefer that it just all be female energy.
Yeah.
I really would.
Now, Linda, you also facilitated my blessing way, so I'd just like to speak a little bit about children.
Yes.
I've been at some very sweet blessing ways, and it wasn't really planned, like, for my oldest daughter, but we had a very special moment of where, and she lost it completely. I've never seen her emotionally lose it, and she was, what, eight years old. I'm getting teary-eyed.
I am, too.
Just thinking about it. But it was, you know, so it didn't. I definitely wouldn't want my toddler there, you know, because I think she was distracting. But I just kind of left it open of saying, hey, if you want to be part of it, fine. If you don't, whatever, go off. Just don't be distracting. And but we just had a moment during there where just I could acknowledge her and the relationship, not with any of the other kids, but just her and me. And it was so special.
And what a gift to her. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be able to feel totally free to connect with her mom and cry in front of a group of women and to feel totally supported in that, I think that is going to serve her whole life. I mean, to understand the value of other women and other girls, that was a very special moment. Like you said, totally spontaneous. And I think that everybody in the room was sort of taken aback and just fell into a silence, which was beautiful, and just let the two of you hold each other and cry. And yeah, it was very beautiful. I had my daughter was 7 when I had my blessing way, and I had her wash my feet. And that was always really special to me. What I did was I washed my mom's feet, and then she washed my feet. And then I said, I hope one day you have a daughter that will wash your feet. And so sometimes there's a purpose for having them there because they have a job to do. Again, know your child, know what they're capable of. I agree with you. I think that at a certain age, there's just going to be a distraction. It's not actually going to be of benefit to the child. But yeah, when you get a little girl over the age of 4, 5, 6, 7, boy, that can be really special. And yeah, your daughter's really weighed on all of our hearts. That was really, really sweet. Mm-hmm. Very special.
Well, the one blessing way that I was just at recently with you, the little girl was not even 2 years old. And I thought that was very special as well of just... you can tell from the pictures from the birth already she has a connection with her little brother of just she loves him so much and she's so little. So
Could have gone either way though, right? With a 2-year-old? Could have gone either way.
Who knows?
Yeah, but I think it's very, very sweet. And again, it's the strength of women. And our patriarchal society values the male side of the brain and the logical side. And the woman side is the intuitive side. And it just doesn't get, I don't think there's enough value on it in our society. So when we have these circles and we can really help a girl understand at a very young age the value of being a female and the value of intuition, and the value of emotion and art and creativity, I think that's a gift that we need to give our girls at a younger age, because in regular school systems, they're getting the whole left side. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a nice opportunity for them.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, when we come back, we'll be discussing the elements of a blessing way. Welcome back. Today we're talking about blessing ways. And Linda, what are the primary elements of the blessing ways? I know you said that, you know, beginning, middle, end, yeah. But what are some different things that you can do at a blessing way?
There's so many different things. So one of the things you can do is music, whether it's singing and chanting or drumming or toning, anything like that. You can do evocation. So you can do smudging. You can do silence. You can do an invocation. You can do a guided meditation. Then there's grooming. Now, some people like grooming and some people don't, but foot washing, hair brushing, head rest, belly art, adornment, right? And then the meat and potatoes, again, is the sharing circle. Mm-hmm. So, and in the sharing circle, there's too many to list different rituals you can do. There's usually starts with, you know, generational introductions to get the female vibe going in the room. You can do bracelets of connectedness, candle lightings, readings, storytelling. You can do bead bracelets, bead necklace, gifts from the heart, wishes for baby. You can release fears. You can do belly masks. You can do quilts. You can do crafts. There's so many different things you can do. You can incorporate religion if that's important to somebody. You can do prayers. You can plant a tree. You can there's just no end to the things that you can do. There are several books that you can...
I was going to ask now. So if someone is planning a blessing way, what kind of resources do they have? I see you have several books in front of you here.
Yeah. So I have a lending library and I loan out books to women here locally. But you can go online and just research blessing way rituals and you'll be fascinated. It's fun to do the research. You can also... this is what I do. I go on eBay and I buy the books. You can get them so inexpensively. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get books for $7.
Yeah.
And get three different books on. I know a couple ones. One's called Blessing Ways. One's called Mother Rising. One's called The Smudging and Blessing Book. Now, that one has a lot more different ceremonies, not mm-hmm. just for mother blessings, but other things too. But it's very, I think it's really fun to look up all your options.
I know when I was planning my blessing way, Samantha, it was like Linda looked at me and was like, we're not going to fit this in.
You know, like, you wanted so much.
Exactly. Well, you know, and I knew that going in. I'm like, well, yeah. I'd like this. I think it was like 3 pages typed long. And of course, I invited like 30 people.
It's like the crazy mom's like birth plan.
Yeah. Well, there are so many fun things to do and they're all mm-hmm. meaningful. And that's why it's really hard to cut down. But if you make it too long, you start to, the people that are in attendance get a little like, okay, enough, you know.
Right. How long mm-hmm. do they usually, is it,
you know,
really long?
For years, I was always saying 45 minutes. So what I would tell people to do is think in terms of a church service. So if you went to a service, after 45 minutes, you're ready to go, mm-hmm. right? It's enough ritual and thankfulness and you're ready to go. But honestly, they're going much longer. They're 2 and 3 hours.
Yeah. Well, a typical baby shower, you'd kind of expect 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah. And that's not any real deep emotionally rich connections happening.
No, you're opening gifts.
This is like really important stuff going on that you, again, you wouldn't want to cut it off.
Right.
And so I think that I've definitely changed my tune, that they definitely need to be a little longer. And then there's so much value to breaking bread together.
Yeah.
You know, whatever
I was going to ask, because food is always a favorite topic of mine. So how do you incorporate food in the blessing way?
Oh, I think it's a lovely opportunity to do. I think a potluck is lovely. Or if you want to do a theme. I mean, you and I were at the another blessing way where there was an Indian theme.
Yes.
And they mm-hmm. catered in Indian food. It was amazing.
That was really good.
And to die for. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the women coming in, I guess it depends on your invitation list. If these are women that don't know each other well and you pluck this one from there and that one from there and that one from there, we're probably not going to have as long of people, you know, when they first get there hanging out and chatting as you would when they all do know each other. Mm-hmm. So I think you can kind of gauge it on that. But if you do set a limit, if you say on the invitation like 4 to 6 p.m. or whatever it's going to be, I think that helps set expectation, mm-hmm. you know, that it's going to end. Because if you say 4 to whenever,
Yeah.
You know.
Till it's over.
Yeah, that gets to be a little much.
Till the baby comes.
Gets to be a little bit much.
Now, what do women who have had a blessing way say that the most special part of the ceremony was?
Oh, that's funny. Just you asking that question makes me like choke up. Because the women that, the feedback that I get is that it's the whole ceremony. It's the day. It's a day they'll never forget. And it wasn't even a day. It was a couple hours. But it's a couple hours in their life that had such intense meaning and clarity for them and friendship and love and support. And they don't say, oh, I love that or I love that. They loved it all. They loved everything. They just loved communing with other women. And I think that they, who doesn't like to hear wonderful things about themselves, right? Mm-hmm, so right. That happens.
Yeah, you said in a previous episode that, you know, we should all have, always have, everybody should have a ceremony.
Yeah, once every 20 years. So once every 20 years, you should have one. That's what I said. I just did one for my daughter. She's 15. I'm like, that'll serve her for 20 years. I'll see her again. She's 35. I'll give her another one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very meaningful. So I can't say that they pinpoint one thing that was better than another. They just loved everything.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Linda, for joining us today. For more information about Linda and her pregnancy sanctuary, as well as information about our panelists, visit the episode page on our website. This conversation continues for members of our Preggy Pals Club. After the show, Linda will discuss how fear release is incorporated into a ceremony of a blessing way or mother's blessing. To join our club, visit the website www.preggypals.com.
Hello, Preggy Pals. I am Crystal Stubendick, maternity fashion expert and founder of Borrow for Your Bump, where you can buy or rent designer maternity styles for a monthly rate. Today, we are going to talk about matching your body type with the perfect dress style for summer. It is challenging enough dressing your body type, let alone with a growing bump. You not only want to look fabulous, but you want to feel fabulous too. With four basic body types, we will match a dress style that will flatter and accentuate all the right places, especially for the upcoming summer months that are full of weddings, showers, and barbecues. The first body type is a triangle, which is when your hips are wider than your shoulders. The perfect dress match for a triangle body is an empire waistline that fits directly under the bust and above the bump. A long and flowing strapless maxi dress would take the attention to the center of the body, creating more of a balance. The key is to make sure the dress is loose and flowing towards the bottom, whether it hits above the knee or above the ankle. We like the Zora Maxi Dress by Nom, which is strapless and will show off the assets on top while covering up a wider bottom half. As an inverted triangle, your shoulders or bust are actually larger than your hips. This is a chance to actually show off those shoulders with an asymmetric dress style. Hiding the shoulders under a sleeve dress can make you appear larger, and with a one shoulder number, you will create a balance. For a more formal occasion, we like the asymmetrical sequin dress by Seraphine. For a more casual occasion, avoid spaghetti straps and choose styles with wider straps, like the braided halter dress by Maternal America. An hourglass body type is when your shoulders and hips are around the same size and you have a defined waist. The best dresses to fit this shape are pieces that hug, not hide your curves and growing bump. A perfect match is the Dylan Stripe Maxi Dress by Nom. Or if you like a little more coverage around the arms, there's the gray and white striped Teresa Maxi Dress by Nom. The final body type is a rectangle shape where your shoulders, bust, and hips are similar in size and you lack a defined waist. With this, try to create an hourglass figure with an empire waist or side ruching. Also, try choosing materials that are fitting, which will flatter your bump. Our recommendation is the Sophie Dress by Nom, which is available in charcoal or black colors. This style is perfect for almost any occasion, and the cap sleeves create a soft look. A belt can also be added to many dress styles to create flattering curves to an otherwise straight waist. Overall, remember you are beautiful no matter what your body type. Embrace your assets and balance your frame with a dress style that will flatter and make you feel sexy. Don't forget to check out our summer dress styles mentioned at borrowforyourbump.com and be sure to listen to Preggy Pals for more great pregnancy tips.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Preggy Pals. Don't forget to check out our sister shows, Parent Savers, for parents with newborns, infants, and toddlers, Twin Talks for parents of multiples, and our show The Boob Group for moms who breastfeed their babies. Next week, we'll be discussing the use of homeopathy during pregnancy and birth. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating health care problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified health care provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com. Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.